Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson. And our show today is about specifically doing treatments or working with depression and also with grief using sound. So our intention is that everybody is depressant free. Everybody is completely, I don't want to do the negative. It's interesting because grief is not a problem. So I don't want to say grief free because grief is good, but everybody ends up clear and whole and heart open. That's a good one. That's our intention for today. Before we get started, though, I'd like to tell you about some things happening at the Institute. We've got tomorrow, if you're in the area, we've got the open house from 1 to 6 p.m. That's Sunday. And we're going to be doing a full range of sound healing meditations. We'll be talking about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we'll be putting people on sound tables. We'll have food here. And it's really quite an experience, even if you're not interested in classes. It's a very powerful time. It's funny because often people go, oh my God, 5 hours? But it's interesting because even after 5 hours, people don't want to leave because we just get in the zone and we go deeper and deeper. And then the following weekend, we've got a two-day workshop here at the Institute for $180. And it's an intensive where we're going to be going through in detail how to use sound physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually on yourself or on others. So if you can't do the whole program, it's a really good beginning. During that weekend on Saturday, October 29th, we're also going to be doing a crystal bowl concert with the Alchemy Crystal Bowls. So that's only $20 if you want to come to that Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Also, we have the next semester coming up for the Sound Healing Certificate Program. That starts January 17th. And if you pay in full by October 25th, you can get a $500 discount. Or if you pay in full for the whole degree program, you can get a $1,500 discount. And that program, of course, is three nights a week, Monday through Wednesday nights, and some weekends. And it's quite profound. It goes into detail as to how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We've got about a dozen instructors, so you get a full perspective. And it is majorly transformative, not to mention that it provides you with many skills and a lot of knowledge, so you could actually open up your own practice as well. Again, that's January 17th. The online version of that with live instructors actually starts next Saturday, October 29th, online. And that works really well online. And that's Tuesday and Thursday nights and then Saturday mornings as well. If interested in those, you can call me at 415-777-2486 or email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com. You can find all that information at soundhealingcenter.com. We also have our audio recording program, which is completely separate from the sound healing program, where we actually go through Pro Tools and how to record and mix and produce. And you learn some very powerful techniques for creating recordings that are very effective on people physically, mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually. I've written the number one selling book in the world called The Art of Mixing and the number one book in sound healing called The Complete Guide to Sound Healing that you can find on our website, or you can call us and order it as well. That audio recording program is actually starting January 18th at the Institute, or you could start this Friday, October 28th, online. We also have our store is open Tuesday to Saturday, 11 to 5. We've got all types of crystal bowls, and all of it is available online. We also have a lot of really incredible crystals these days, really profound and effective crystals. We also have our sound therapy center where we do massage on the sound table. We do crystal bowl, voice tuning fork treatments, where you can find your soul frequency where you're at peace, or we can do a voice analysis to find out what frequencies you are missing. They're all very effective, and we do most of those online as well. Again, phone number is 415-777-2486. And email is david@soundhealingcenter.com. The therapy center is at soundtherapycenter.com. Cool. Oh my God. So today, this morning, we just had a 3-hour workshop here with 14 doctors from Kaiser Hospital in San Rafael. Oh my God. It's happening. It's happening. We are moving sound healing into the mainstream. And it was so amazing to go around and have these doctors. I said, okay, have you had any sound healing experience? And it's like just about every one of them said, oh yeah, I've been in a sound bath, or my wife does sound healing. And then the director of the hospital said that she had just come from the Integratron down out in the desert in Los Angeles, Joshua Tree, which is a place that this guy built of sacred geometry structure to do sound healing in based on downloads he got. And it's an amazing place. And the director of this hospital had just come from there. Oh my God, it is happening. It's really so cool. 10 years ago, they would have thought we were crazy. We were complete woo-woo. And now they're all interested. And using techniques, especially the pain, there was two people in the pain department. They were really interested in incorporating the sound tables and the sound lounges because they're so effective. And then the bass pod, which is like a little subwoofer in your hand, oh my God, there's nothing better for pain management than that. So it was really kind of got me really inspired, and just to think that, you know, soon that it will be in all hospitals around the world. Ultimately, you know, I mean, they're just using it as integrative care or complementary care, but eventually, you know, I think it will move in to the actual medical side as well. So we'll start using things like ultrasound to break up tumors, or, you know, I mean, goodness gracious, if someone's had a heart attack, they should be sending and working with love on their heart with sound. I mean, there's so many aspects, not to mention ultimately getting it down based on our research foundation where we're doing the GeneOhm project, GeneOhm.com, where we're mapping every frequency in the body. So ultimately, you'll go to the doctor and they'll say, okay, play these frequencies and that disease will go away. Or play these frequencies and that depression will be gone. Or play these frequencies to break up that tumor. No side effects at all. Enjoy. Oh my God, that's where it's headed. You know, frequencies and music, it's really what the body is made of. The body is all frequencies and music. Frequencies, sounds, musical intervals, and music. And with intention, it's just where it's all headed. And so I'm just feeling really excited now. So today I wanted to talk about doing treatments for depression and grief. You know, there's basically two types of sounds, and sounds that are run the gamut in this scale in between. The range is from sounds that are very activating. Probably the extreme case is the gong, although bagpipes are very activating. Also, even the sitar is quite activating. These are sounds that have harmonics in them that we call odd-numbered harmonics. So the actual frequencies in those sounds are creating a dissonant chord with just the sound itself. And that's what makes them edgy or activating. There's also sounds that are very calming. We call these even harmonic sounds because the harmonics that are in those sounds actually create a warm consonant chord, and they are the 2, 4, and 8 harmonics. They're the actual harmonics that are the even numbers. So, in any treatment, it becomes really critical to know whether you want to use more activating sounds or more calming sounds. If you use activating sounds for somebody that's really fragile or having a panic attack, if you use a gong on like a panic attack, oh my God, it'll destroy the person. It's really dangerous. Or somebody that's really very fragile or sensitive, you have to be very careful. Whereas if you use warm sounds, calming sounds on somebody that's depressed, they may never get out of bed. So for depression, we use quite often very activating sounds. And also rhythms and frequent, well, first of all, we use high frequencies because high frequencies are more activating than low frequencies. But we're also using changing sounds, sounds that change, or not sounds, but rhythms and melodies that change a lot. In this song that I call Antidepressant, we actually use a full, and there's one section where we go through a frequency sweep. It's actually just a scale. We just walk up the scale, note by note, and then back down the scale. Because the full range of frequencies is what we need so that we're not stuck in that one tunnel vision of the depression, which is a certain frequency. It's like a looping frequency, a frequency in the brain, actually, that is just playing over and over. So by going through the full frequency range and all the different notes at one point, that's the purpose of that is to break up that one stuck frequency. So I want to play this song. I'm just going to play the last half of our song, Antidepressant. And it's also got alpha frequencies in it, alpha brainwave frequencies, which are designed to bring you into a state of presence. I shouldn't say design, it's just that's what alpha is when your brain is actually vibrating in alpha. You actually are present, where you're completely aware, not thinking, but totally present. It's actually a pretty activated state, although it's relaxed presence is alpha frequencies. And those are embedded in there. So if you wear headphones, you'll get that effect as well. So we're just going to fade it in the middle of the song. Probably about 10 minutes in, and then listen to the last 10 minutes of this antidepressant song. So, enjoy. Yes. Quite activating. But you know what I've found is for depression, it's even more effective if you start off with calming, kind of almost depressed energy to match where someone's at, and then ever so slowly bring them into the activated state. So this next song I want to play for you actually has a complete progression and transformation from the depressed state ever so slowly into a complete blissful state. And this one has been really effective for people that are depressed, along with a whole protocol that we've put together to help people that includes exercise and toning and all different types of things we can talk more about. So check this out. This song is called Low Mood, and it's the full transformation. It also does include frequencies and alpha to bring people into a present state. Okay, so enjoy this one. Love that song. The next one is for grief. It's interesting with grief, it's really not about immediately getting over grief, it's more about grieving. I think the key part to grief, if you don't grieve, it will be coming up after you from behind. And you won't be able, it's like your emotions get interrupted when you don't allow them. It's like you don't feel other things. So, it's like if someone dies, these days commonly people have to go back to work. And it's like, what do you mean you got to go back to work? It's, well, I'll lose my job. Well, your mom died. It's crazy. It's one of the emotions I don't think many people, I think maybe some people, but not very many at all, can bypass. I think you can't bypass grief. Grief is simply allowing yourself to be sad. And what's cool, as I've talked about before, is sadness and grief are not really bad for you. I mean, if you go into despair, it's like that's more like, right? But sadness and grief are actually beautiful songs that are not bad for your body. It's like, if you stay there too long, just like any emotion, it can be a problem because sadness can be a problem in that it kind of slows your metabolism down in a way. But I've realized, especially recently, there's good sadness and there's bad sadness. There's really two types of sadness. That's why in a lot of the emotion books and on Wikipedia, they actually put sadness in the negative side. It does have a negative side if you're just kind of like, it's just this kind of like melancholy, which after a while kind of does keep your system, it's like your system, it's almost like constipation. In fact, it creates constipation, I think. Whereas there's the other sadness where there's no negative energy around it. There's no static. There's no bummer about it. My kitty died. I'm sad. My parents died. I'm sad. Let me be sad. It's okay. I'll be okay later. But now is the time to be sad. Don't resist it. That's the whole deal. And just listen to sad songs. Cry. Do whatever you need to do. But it's important. This is the tricky part. In order to really grieve correctly, kind of a funny way to say it, is it's really important to take time off. It's hard to go to work and be grieving while doing the left brain thing. It's very, not very, doesn't work very well. And that's the tricky part. So it's just critical to at least take off. I took off 5 days of work when my kitty died. That was my kitty. I loved my kitty though. So it's even if you at least take off, 2 or 3 days, I mean, at minimum, but don't bypass it. So that's the first stage is to actually grieve. So as I was talking about in the beginning, this is not about activating sounds, not about, you know, activating rhythms or alpha frequencies or any of the things that we did for the depression. This is about actually bringing you down. In fact, when we've developed this treatment over the last 10 years with the students, we realize it's not, I mean, it's really about, if you're not grieving, it's bringing you into the sadness to feel it. It's not about getting over it. But then the next stage is about getting over it, above it, putting it in perspective. It's like the story that I told to my landlord a couple of years ago when her daughter committed suicide. When I was in college, I had a class where at the beginning of the class, the teacher said, okay, everybody pair up and tell your partner something really deep about yourself. So I got hooked up with this woman who starts telling me that the day before she was at the beach on the ocean and with her best friend, and her friend got carried into, with the tide, in down into the rocks and was killed. And I'm like, whoa, what the hell are you doing here? And she said, well, it was really weird because I felt immediately that it was okay. She said, I didn't go into denial. I didn't go in out of my body, but it just felt it was okay. So the paramedics came. There's a big crowd there trying to revive her. But she was gone. And she said she walked up to the road and there was a guy up there playing guitar, had been playing guitar. And he says, what's going on down there? And she said, my friend just died, just drowned. And she said, this guy played a song for her on the guitar that completely made it okay that her friend was dead. And I'm like, whoa, I don't know what I can tell you personally about myself after that. I mean, oh my God. So that night I went home and I was telling my roommates about this woman. And one of my roommates, his name was Andrew. And Andrew was a light being. Andrew actually did psychedelics a lot, but you would never know it because he was just complete heart open, beautiful light worker, right? This was over 30 years ago, by the way. And so Andrew goes, I've never played a song like that before in my life. It was my roommate that played guitar for this woman that I'd never met in my class that day. When her friend died the day before. It was my roommate, Andrew. Oh my God, it was, what a trip. That was like, again, that was like over 30 years ago. Last year, Andrew was in Kauai, Hawaii. And he was riding a bicycle and got hit by a car and was killed. And my first thought was, it's okay. It's okay. That's the next stage after grieving, to get to a place where it's okay. to get to a place where it's just the wheel of life. It's the most natural thing in the world. And get to the beautiful place of gratitude for the relationship you had, and leave it at gratitude for the relationship you had. I loved having that kitty. I'm so grateful to have had all those kitty licks on my nose. That kitty gave you a high five. If you said high five, she would put her paw up and you'd get a high five. I'm so grateful for that. Even though she's gone, how blessed I am. So shift it to a higher perspective so that it's not a bummer. It's beautiful. It's kind of like the movie Inside Out, if you've seen that, where the kid has this memory of a beautiful childhood, you know, playing hockey and ice skating with her parents. It was really fun. And then she goes into a place where she is really sad that she no longer has that beautiful feeling. So that becomes a bummer, that previous memory. And it's kind of the same with grief. It's not a bummer. It's beautiful, that relationship that you had. So that's the second stage, putting it in perspective. And that is a combination of activating and calming sounds and music. It's really just being present once again. The song I want to play for you now is called Good Grief. So this is about transmuting grief. It starts out mellow and it gets very powerful. So you're empowered within this grief, and then has some beautiful grief, singing about grief or releasing grief. The song is, everybody that played on this song was holding the intention of letting go of grief, transforming it. So if you have any grief at all you haven't let go of, enjoy this song.
Thank you.
So again, we come back to our intention that everybody may be whole on their own. Heart open, connected to your soul, connected to source, no more depression, moving through grief with grace. Whole, heart open. Hold that energy for the rest of the weekend, week ahead, months ahead, years ahead. Imagine lifetimes. Thanks for listening and take care.